Have a little thought I'd like to present this morning. Need the Lord to help us. I'd like to think about the thought of only Jesus. And there's a song in our songbook, number 78, I believe. The title of it is Only Jesus. And it says, only Jesus, precious Jesus, can our every sorrow know. He alone can truly help us through life's journey here below. Only Jesus, precious Jesus, when life's thorns have pierced the heart, can relieve the wounded spirit, needful help and grace impart. Only Jesus, precious Jesus, when temptation's billows roll, can command the angry tempest, strengthen, soothe the trembling soul. Only Jesus, precious Jesus, He alone in life and death can support me, and I'll trust Him till my life's last fleeting breath. Other friends may bless and comfort, speak a kind and cheering word, but the balm to heal the heartache only Jesus can afford. So I want to think a little bit about only Jesus. There is only means there is nothing else. There can't be two onlys. There's an only. Jesus only. There's things in the scriptures. I think about the idea, for instance, you couldn't really say and shouldn't say, I only love God. God never said that you say that He's the only one that we're to love, because that, of course, isn't true. We're to love God and to love the people of God and to love all people. And so it wouldn't be right to put it into that category of onlys. But this song is representing something that Jesus is the only. There isn't. You can try to get something else, or you can have something else. But this song is saying, really, that Jesus is the only, the one that really does help. Other friends, it says, other ones can comfort and do these things. But we can encourage one another, inspire one another. But I think Linda and I was having a conversation yesterday, and she made the comment that we can do those things, but we can't give the power. There's nothing that people can help and encourage and inspire and do that, but they can't. Jesus really is the only one that can take care of some of these things for us, and there's no other one that can do it. He is to be our only one. And when we try to put somebody else or something in that way, it won't work. It'll come up empty, I believe, in short. And I see a little glimpse of this in Sunday school this morning, but I was thinking about the idea of what really works for us. Keith made a testimony this morning, it kind of reminded me of it, that if other people are to help, we're to have a certain idea of one another, and there's things that accompany salvation, and we can expect those things. But to be honest with you, I think that if you was to live close by anybody, no matter how much you admire them, no matter how spiritual that they are, you would find somewhere in their lives, you would find a disappointing element about there. You would find something that would surprise you. And we can look at the Apostle Paul for an example in this, and he was a mighty man of God and something, but there was one time when some other apostles had Peter and Paul conflicted. Once they got into a certain place, there was a little bit of this there. And my point isn't to look at one another and say that this discourages me away from living for God or anything like that. That's not what it is about at all. It is to put our get our eyes on
on the perfect mark, to get our eye on the one that really can never disappoint, never do that, because to be honest with you, I can say, honestly, I want to live my life the best I can, but I will disappoint you if you start putting me in that position. I'll disappoint you, because you get around me long enough, you're going to see a lot of humanity. You're going to see a lot of things that happens in human life. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. But yet he doesn't want me either to start looking and saying, well, they have all these problems. This problem discourages me from living for the Lord. No, on the contrary, I should, as was mentioned in Sunday school too, I should look at myself to see whether or not what I'm doing with this whole thing. And not just put the human elements on people and say, well, if they can't do no better than that, well, let me try to prove that it can be done better than that. Or let me to judge myself. Many, many times I've been amazed. I know it's been in my own life, it's others' life. It's a human quality up for to look at somebody else's life and say, they sure, and when I get, I may say that they sure got some problems there, but if I really get to thinking about it, I've had the same problems in my life too. I've had the same problem, and look and make a judgment like that. So there is one, it's Jesus only. For the one, Paul did say, follow me, but he didn't leave it there because he knew better than leaving it there. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me in this. As I follow Christ, you follow me, because that's the perfect mark is Christ. And there is a place that I want us to think about, this idea that it's only Jesus only. Nobody else can take this place. The one that I have to pattern my life off of, as much as I can appreciate you all and much as do that, and I know we do this as they follow the Lord. I've got a lot of good from those that went before me, Brother Jim, Brother Sammons, Brother Clifford, those men that lived for the Lord and gave themselves to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, every one of those men had places in their lives. Every one of them had a places in their life that they would have said to you, they would have said if they were still here, they would say to you, no, I was not perfect. I am not perfect. It's Jesus that is perfect, and we can take the examples of their life and be encouraged by it, but it's Jesus that we need to get to help us. And I want to encourage you with something. God, he has grace enough that whatever you have, I assure you that I am confident of this fact. And if you get diligent before the Lord and go to the Lord and say, tell the Lord, there is things in my life that I cannot conquer. I cannot conquer. I know you can. Lord, you help me conquer this problem that I can't conquer for myself, this disposition, this place that I have in my life. Friends might help and encourage, they may inspire, they may try to do that, but you don't have the power to give me to do something that I can't do for myself, and I can run into it real fast to where I can say, I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability to change this, Lord. I try to be, I want to be better. I don't have the ability. This keeps getting me. I can't do it myself. Lord, I know that you're the one that's got the ability to alter this situation in my life. I'm going to tell you, he's got the ability to do it in our lives. Over in Psalms, it was one we had a little Bible study last Sunday night on this. This was verses before, I think we started in 5, but this is 62, Psalm 62. I'll get 1 and 2. It says, truly my soul waiteth upon God, for he cometh, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He only is my rock. Now this idea, the Lord, God, he's my only rock. And again, we would have an understanding if the writer would have said, God is the rock of my salvation. There's plenty of scriptures that says that. But God is my rock. But the writer said something more than that here. He wanted to express this in a certain way. It's not just, he's not just my rock. He's my only rock. Now, when Jesus said to Peter, I think he said, Simon, thou art a rock. He meant in the idea of what we would think about a stone. But upon this rock I'll build my church meant strata. This is different than just a rock. So when we think about this expression of being is my rock, think about it in the sense that it's the strata. It is something that is not movable. It is totally solid. And the writer here says, only. I don't have any other rocks here. You know, if we're not careful, we do put a lot of things in our life that become a part of the rock for us. It becomes this is what I depend on. I can only be so satisfied. I have to be so satisfied with this, and so I have to put so much into my life to make myself satisfied. But the writer says only. God, you're only. I don't look. What must he have been talking about? What else could he have possibly have looked to or meant to? You know, this was the time. This was a psalm of David, and David was a warrior in many places and battles and those kind of places. But David also had this experience to where David comes up. And he's facing a giant, right? He's just a lad. He's a youngster at the time. And he comes up to this situation to where he's going to face this giant. And he's obviously called to it. God put him in the position. He goes up there. It's his time, his place. The inspiration of God's on him. He's going to take on a giant. And he didn't do as the other minds was doing. The other minds was looking for a rock. Saul's mind was looking for a rock, something solid. Something's going to give me the victory here. It's going to give something that's unmovable. We don't want to be shaken. We don't want to be moved. We want our life to be solid. I want to depend on something. We all get nervous when the economics of this world start moving, or we see things happening with what we all get nervous about what the future and all those kind of things would be. We do that if we get our minds on the earthly things and the things around us instead of having the Lord only is my rock. God is our rock, folks. We are to be on this unmovable rock that I can look at. I don't know what God's will is in everything, neither do you. But I do know this, that he has already expressed his love for me. He's already expressed that it's going to be well with me. If I stay with him, it's going to be well. He said that he would be with us to the end, even to the end of the world. We can be on that rock that's unmovable. So what must David be thinking about? David then goes up against the giant. Saul's mind was, that David, you're going to need some armor. You're going to need something to depend on because he's going to be chucking stuff at you. He's going to be swinging a sword at you. You're going to be too vulnerable just in this stuff. You need to defend yourself. You need to arm yourself. You need to put securities around you. You need to do all of these things. And I think David tried them on. I don't know. He's a little fella. Saul was a big guy. I wonder how they fit. I mean, I've seen depiction where this little guy's got these big baggy armor. Anyway, he said, I haven't proved this stuff. I can't count on this stuff. I can't. This isn't my rock. This ain't going to work for me. It isn't my rock. This is not what I've trusted in. I understood the situation. This is the king telling him to do it. He bends a little bit with it, looks with it, and says, this ain't going to work for me. I don't trust it. I can't trust in this. This is not going to work. This is not going to help me against a giant. I need something else. Their minds was, how do you win in battle? How do you conquer your foes? What is the best position I can get myself into to be able to be an overcomer in this situation? And David's mind was, I fought a lion and a bear. That was, his mind was, is that I'm not stronger than a lion or a bear. And I didn't have armor. And I didn't depend on these other things in there. God delivered them into my hand. And so he goes into the battle with the things that God had given him. And he comes there and says, you've come with me with sword and spear. You come to me. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the only rock that I have. I'm not looking for skill here. I'm not looking for abilities. I'm not looking for that. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the armies of Israel. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, and that's my rock. That's what I'm depending on. That's what can secure me in this place. There was a lot in the scriptures that talks, that gives us an idea of this way. Scriptures that tell us not to trust in the horses. Well, what would you trust in a horse for? Well, the people that were in war had an understanding. You know, it's a great benefit. Now, today in the days of modern warfare, we don't think about it much, about the horse. But in the early days of war and biblical days, a horse was an incredible thing to have to defend against. I mean, they can come charging and run you over. I mean, a horse was fast. They could maneuver around. There's a lot that a horse could do. And so if you was intending on overcoming a nation, one of the things you're going to do in the preparation of war would be to get horses, to have a horse. But God never did want Israel to trust in horses. Like the other nations did, they trusted. Don't trust in horses and chariots. Don't trust in the things of war. You're looking at this all through a human mind. We look through it in a human mind and we try to get the ducks in a row. We'll always be human. We'll always do the best that we can. And there's a place for all of that. But I want to tell you, there's nothing that you can do to change the things that are around you. You don't have the ability to make your health come back when you don't have it. Oh, we can do this or we can do that, but it's been proven over and over and over again. You know, I was talking to someone last night, and here's just we're just going to have to face this inevitable fact is that grandpa's gone and dad's gone, mom's gone, and everybody ahead of me is gone, and I'm gone too. And you can fight around with that all you want to, but the inevitable fact is that we're going to have to face life at the end of it. I need something that's solid in that, something that's unmovable about that. I need something that is more than me just trying to wrestle and struggle for the last breath of this earth, and that's all that I ever get or have. I want something more than that. I want to be able to meet God in peace. I want to be able to say, thank you for what you've given me, Lord, and it's time to go on to the better place. I want to have faith, maybe that I can't come up with on my own. I need a grace for that time. I'm not standing here saying I got the ability to go through pain, suffering, and all this kind of stuff by myself. I can't. But God can help me to do that because He is the rock, the only rock. None of the rest of this works. So I think about it today. Not to trust in, if you want to use it as an analogy, don't trust in the horses. Don't put your trust in the chariots. Don't put your trust in the human abilities that we can have. Don't put your trust in all these different things that is so relevant to us. I wrote some things down that people trusted in back then. They trusted in the horses and the chariots. They trusted in the armies. You know, they did. And the Lord was always talking with them about it. There was a time, you remember, there was a time where the Lord, I think he told Gideon, there was a war pending, a battle pending, and he told Gideon, you've got too many men. Now wait a minute, that's not the way it works. You know, I don't know, we used to play Risk games and all. Any of you guys ever play Risk? You know what Risk is? You always want the most men you can have. You want the most armies that you can have. That's the way you win the game, by having the most armies. But the Lord comes along and says to them, no, you got too many men here. So I think he was said, so tell everyone, all of them that was afraid, I think he said, all of them that had fear of the battle, tell them to go home. Well, wait a minute. We need every hand. You want to go tell people go home? You're about to fight a battle. If ain't nothing more than stand up there and clap our hands and let the enemy see that there's people there, stand back in the back and shoot an arrow in the air. Throw a rock. Do something to help the cause. If you're too afraid, just be the guy back there that sends the artillery up or sends the ammunition up. Do something. Be in there. Told him to go home. You got too many. Go home. So some big bunch of them went home. I forget the numbers, but they had a lot of them left out. And they said, you got too many, still got too many men. Wait a minute. We need these men. Go tell them this time, I think, go down to the brook and drink. And the ones that lap like dog, you know, said, and I wanted to get down to, 300 or something? Start off with 30,000 or something, down to three. What are you going to do with 300? They got great army over there. What are you going to do with it? You're going to trust in God. I'm your rock, the only rock. You know, there's been a lot of history, and I can show it to you. I used to get magazines about war, the famous battles of war. Do you know there's been a lot of battles that the superior force lost completely? There has been battles where there was just a few men, a few soldiers, takes over great armies of soldiers. Another scripture says that the race ain't to the swift. Well, if the race ain't to the swift, who's it to? The fastest person's supposed to win. But the writer looked at that and understood something. I've seen the fastest guy twist his ankle. I've seen the fastest guy bust his knee out. I've seen the fastest guy get sick before race day. The race isn't to the swift. And the battle's not to the strong. Well, what, if it ain't to the strong, who's it to? I've seen the mighty Goliaths fall. I've seen it. That's what the writer was saying. If you think that it's all got to be in one way, it's not that way. You know, the only victory we really are going to have is going to come through only Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can really give us the victories that we're looking for. Nothing else can do it. I know it was mentioned here about it touches all of our hearts. I mean, I knew Chad real well, played basketball with Chad a lot. It was touching. I'm glad that he's lived through this and his children. It's always touching with something. This happens. I was telling Jake yesterday, do you know that you're not a good enough driver to avoid that? You are not alert enough to keep that from happening. You're not a good enough driver. You're not wise enough to do it, and you're not defensive enough driver to keep that from happening. It can happen to you with everything that you can do. And with me, I've got a little bit different aspect to it, or perspective to it, than even that. I can't keep me from causing it. That's the trouble. I can't keep it from happening to me. And I can't keep me from causing it to happen. And I need something more in my life than just the way I think about things, or even the way we do things. And there's yellow lines in the middle of the road that you don't cross. Well, glad for that. So the restrictions there, the guidelines are there. I got the guidelines, but I can't keep myself in there all the time, and I can't keep another guy in there all the time. I can't rule those kind of things. And it just goes to say about what we can do in life. Listen, I do the best I can, what I feel like I can, in taking care of this temple, okay? But I'm going to be honest with you. There's no use in us being radical about this. And you know why? Because I've seen radical before. And I'll have to say, like the writer did, that the race isn't to the swift. And the strong isn't, uh, or the,
battle's not strong, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I've seen the radical not do a bit better than anybody else has done. And I've seen the radical get sick and be miserable. And I've looked at that and said, surely we ought to be able to control that through this method. I think there's a big help. Don't get me wrong. I think there is a way, and God honors that and that. But I have seen that back when I was working for Allegheny, there was a guy there, worked on the job, and his I'm that age right now, so I'm aware, very aware of it. His grandpa was 60 years old at the time, and he would come and was telling us about it. And he told us that his grandpa was the most fit person that he'd ever seen, that he eat absolutely right, his vegetable he eat right, he worked out all the time. And he told me that this guy told me that his grandpa's physique, he had muscles, he was physique, he still worked out, he eat right, he done all that kind of stuff, and he got an aneurysm and died. And that's what he was telling about. And I'm going to tell you, the health ain't always to those that do that. There's got to be more for us. And so I'm saying, there is things that we benefit ourselves from. And I don't want to discourage anybody from that, but I do want to say this. Don't put it all on that, because it's not what it's all about. So there's these things that we put our trust in. They was in the Old Testament. They was big on alliances, right? They got alliances. That was one of the statements that said, "Don't trust in Egypt." And what that meant was, is it was prone for Israel to do these kind of things. Is that if another army started pressing, or they had an enemy, what they would do was go make allegiance. Do you know allegiances will always cost you something? They always did. And so Israel goes and he says, don't go down to Egypt for your help. One, go down to Egypt. Egypt's a mighty nation. We'll go down there and say, well, listen, we need help against these guys. What can we do? It always costs you something. And the Lord said, don't go making leagues with the nations of this world. Don't go making alliances with this. You may think it's a pretty simple thing, or maybe think it's a harmless thing to go and give your affections and desires to the entertainments and the things of this world, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you something. It'll get you through the moment. It might get you through the night. Do you know drugs is the same way? Don't make no allegiances here. You know, I can feel real good about kind of getting high here for a moment and get through, and the cares that I thought I had is now I don't care for nothing. You can drink your drinks and you can do all those things. We don't have that problem here, of course, but I'm saying as far as the world, this is part of what the world puts in their ways of copings with things. If I can just forget the heartaches and troubles that I have, and I'll sit and you know, whether it's watch a game or a movie, or I'll entertain myself out of it, or I'll involve myself completely out of that, or I'll drink myself on Friday nights till I get good and high up, and I don't care for anything, and I can deal with my life that way. That's a false way of dealing with life. That ain't a real rock. That leaves your body more worn and torn, and it tears you down mentally, and it destroys you, and you never have anything solid, and after a while you're completely a mess. That's not the answer. Well, there is a good answer, and it's called the Lord. The Lord is the answer that we're looking for, not in the all the different things that we can do. They go to Egypt and make alliances. They also had, Lord help us, one of their big outs, one of their big ones was when the things of God, they didn't want the things of God, they simply made their own God. Just, I'll make a God or a belief system, or I'll make something. Where, if there's only one God, one way, the Bible says that there is only one. There's only one church. That's biblical. There's only one Spirit. There's only one God. Then what's the thousands and thousands and thousands of beliefs about? Is God really the author of thousands and thousands and thousands of different beliefs? No. He's just the author of one.
So where does the rest of them come from? It comes from this innate need that we have when we don't have God. We have a need that is basically a part of our humanity. We have that need when there is not filled, when God isn't filling that. We have that need. And so the need derives of me making my own belief system. Lord, help us that we don't make our own belief system. We make gods out of ourselves. I can rule my own life. This is what's best for my life. The Bible says this, but that couldn't apply. So I'm going to apply this. No, Jesus only. He really is the only one, the only real help, the only real way to heaven, the only real way to be blessed. It's really only Jesus. And everything else is kind of the facade. There's a scripture we'll look at. Oh, let's see. Matthew 7, I think I want. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus is the only rock. Jesus here says that my words, he says that you have to put this in the context of it being on the Sermon on the Mount. This is at the very tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts out with the blessed are. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those. And he goes through the whole line, and then at the end of the fifth chapter, he says things like that you might be the children of your Father that reigns on the on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and it's there where he says that if one smite thee on the cheek, to turn to him also the other. All of this language that he used, and part of the seventh chapter starts with judge not that you be not judged, and there's scriptures like that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All of these scriptures that goes through there, and then he gets at the end of this and says, therefore, if you do hear these sayings of mine and do them, if you hear them and do them, I will liken you to a wise man that puts his house on something that can't be moved. This word can't be moved. Christ can't be moved. We can depend on, in this day that we live in, this 2022 and going on, the United States is in trouble. The world is in trouble. Things are changing rapidly. We all sense it. We all feel it. We all know what it is. No predictions here, but if one virus can get going, another one can. If there can, one pandemic, there can be another. All of these things that may be attacking and look on there, I want to encourage us to get our feet on the solid rock and not substitute or not dilute it. It's not to be diluted or diminished by spreading it out and having more than one rock. Well, I trust in God here, but here's an area that I hold, or over here's a hold. No, it says only. He's the only one that I find that works. And you can put, there's an old saying, not to put all your eggs in one basket. Well, the reason for that is that if you drop the basket, you run all your eggs. And so you don't put all your eggs in one basket. And when you're, I think in the stock market, they call it diversifying. You don't want to put everything, because if one stock goes down and that's yours, you lost everything. So you diversify and you do all those kind of things. That's not true in this sense. This is one that you put all your eggs in one basket. Put it in the Jesus basket. You can put all your hopes and everything in there, because I'm going to tell you, the world's going to fail you somewhere along the line. There has been those, even though the historical trend has always been up, there was a time that there was people that invested in the stock market, and when the stock market crashed in the 20s, there was people that killed themselves. They could not handle it. Their rock had moved out from under them. Their what they had put their hope and their desire in, and I'm going to tell you, if you look at a person, any person, as being the man, people do it all over the places. There is people that push themselves, rise themselves up into the eyes of people, and all of a sudden, they're the man, and that man many times gets caught cheating on his wife, or he gets caught in some kind of tax fraud, or he gets something like that, and all of a sudden people scratching their head, no, I put such confidence in him. Well, you should have never put that confidence in him to start with. He's just a man. With the tendencies and failures of all men, and of course we don't do that to one another, thank the Lord. We teach against that. We don't lift up man. The Bible says to honor for the work's sake, that's it. There's no preacher that ascends above anything else other than that. It's Christ that we lift up. Well, don't try to get you to hook to me. You'll be failing if you hook to me. I don't try to get you to hook to Brother Ed or Brother Danny or any of our ministers, because you're just going to fail if you do that. No, we want you to hook to Jesus, the only rock that you can really have. That I want to tell you, this one can talk to you about what you really need in the middle of the night if you need it. I can't do that. I can't help you. God can actually bring the circumstances into your life for you to see yourself. I can't make you see yourself. I can tell you what I see, but you'll just be resentful of that. But God can deal with you until you know it's you, if you're sincere about it. This is the only rock. I'm going to tell you, the only way this really works is always my message. You got to have Jesus for yourself. You got to stand with your feet on the rock. You've got to be the one that takes that word in and takes it and says, this is the word. This is the word. This is what I'm going to have. This is what I'm going to have in my life. And to have a faith in God to where you know He works for you, and a confidence. So the world's going haywire. People's minds are way out there with all the struggling and striving, from pronouns to, oh, what a world. I just sit and spin. I like to think that I think in terms of logics, and some of this is so far away from logical explanations and things that you can think of. Lord, help us. It's the only thing I can think of, but I want to tell you, in the middle of it all, is I got my feet on the rock. The only one. The only one that really, really works. We have relationships, and thank God for them. Thank God for good relationships, good marriages, good friendships, good saint relations, church congregational. But I'm going to tell you the only way it works. It only works if you get your feet on the rock. And when you get to looking around, you get to looking around at things and seeing those things, it can be really discouraging. Why this one did that, and why that one did that, and what was that about, and what was that statement about, and what's this about? And you know, at the end of it, well, I'll tell you a little thing that I went through recently. I had a habit of saying, I don't care, when I didn't mean that. I meant that it doesn't matter. And Marty's actually the one that challenged me a couple of times by saying, Dad, you don't care? Well, no, I care. What I mean to say is it don't matter. And so that's what I want to say. I do care. But in the middle of always caring, it's not going to make me not serve the Lord. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do, and nothing else can matter. And that's where the rock's at. And there's another scripture I want to talk about. It's James, first chapter of James, I think. It talks about a double-minded man. Double-minded is not only. It means there's something else. There's something else involved in it. It's like, I think the expression Adam Clark said, it's like, a thought and a thought. It's like a mind and a mind. It's two, I think this, I think this. I think white, I think black. I think this, I think this. It's a double mind. And the scripture here in James James 1. Fifth verse says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And that's quite an expression, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It's actually exactly the opposite of he is my only rock. This is all that there is. This rock, this solid place, that's all there is. That isn't double-minded. That's single-minded. And Lord, help us today to be single-minded for God. Totally single-minded for God. We want the right people in office. Lord, have mercy on us. It said to pray for the rulers and leaders of our land that we might live peaceable. Lord, give us men that care and men that will do right and serve all those things. But I want to say my hope ain't in the United States government, because if it was, you'd be in trouble. A lot of trouble. You can't have your mind on this and on this. No. Lord, you're in control. You're in control and can bring. If the Lord could put Daniel in that old Babylonian empire and do with him what he did and make him so successful, he can do the same with us at any time. So Lord, help us not to be in this situation of being double-minded. For a double-minded man is unstable and he's in all of his ways. It's like being tossed to and fro, back and forth. I think this and I'm happy, and now I think this I'm discouraged, and I think this, and Lord help me, I'm going to be honest enough to say that my mood can change on a dime. I can be going along and all of a sudden one little bit of news had me turned around, and Lord help me that I ain't so easily moved off of that. God's still in control of the situation, and we're not to be just double-minded and tossed to and fro, but it's Jesus only. You know what? He's the answer to your problems today. When you're not encouraged, I want to encourage you. Look to Jesus, because he can encourage you. When, as the song says, and I'll end with this. As the song says, I think it was the second verse. Only Jesus, precious Jesus, when life's storms has pierced thy heart, can relieve the wounded spirit, needful help and grace impart. There's nothing else can do it. That's the only one. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.